In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. It's John 1. God active and moving in our lives. God came to dwell among us. In the Old Testament, there's a word that we don't use. It sounds kind of archaic, but it says God came to tabernacle with us. Don't you like that? God came to move, to live, to dwell, to be among us. The presence of the Almighty has come near. Kathy Mattea. Anybody remember her? She was a country music star years ago.
Yeah.
She used to sing a song. Matter of fact, something that just got on my mind, and last night I Googled it late, and I listened to it over and over. I couldn't hardly go to sleep. She sang that song, "There's a New Kid in Town."
Yeah.
And this kid, he was a kid of kids and a king of kings. And he came and he changed everything. So here's my prayer that this Christmas, you'll unwrap the Christ child. You'll unwrap him in new ways and new depths. Because over in Exodus and all through the scripture, you see that God comes to make his dwelling place, his heart. Then you get the New Testament. He comes to give us the blessed Holy Spirit. He comes to mark us, to seal us as his own, to live, to dwell, to basically God, the Holy Spirit unrobes Jesus as he comes into humanity. He becomes 100% human. He's 100% God. And he comes and he takes on our likeness so he can identify with us because he became one of us. I have an expression I use all the time. I love it. What a Savior. What a Christ. What a King. So this living God comes to dwell as Philippians, as John, as so many passages in Scripture teach us. But I think there's a screen. Tell me if it's going to come up here. The invisible becomes the visible. Will it come up? Look at this. You want to write this down. This is good. The invisible becomes the visible. The untouchable becomes the touchable. I love that about Christ. He came near. He became one of us. And I tell people here all the time at the table, I long to touch him, to hug him, to embrace him in his fullness and see him as he is. So as he becomes visible, as we see his presence, we have communion with him. And I think about when you say unwrap. Over the last few weeks, you've been wrapping presents, have you not? Some of you are really good Christmas wrappers, and some of you are like me, you need to take a class. It's pitiful. But it's the heart that you give. It's what you give. But when I think about some of you enjoy it, but man, this one, you want to make sure that you unwrap the presence of Christ above every gift under your tree. You might say, Keith, I don't have any gifts under my tree, or I got a lot of gifts, or I just told my little friend back, I said, you're on the nice list this year. And I'm on the naughty. And you don't want to be on the naughty list. You just want to be on God's list. And everybody said,
Amen.
You just want to be one of God's. And say, God, I want to unwrap you. I want to come near. I want to have that presence in my life, Lord. This gift tops all other gifts. And you know the great thing? When you get gifts, you remember getting that gift over the years? It's like, man, this is going to be my favorite gift. And I remember when small drones and little things came out. You had these little kind of imitations. And we gave some to our grandkids and all this. And like, oh, this is a great gift. Pop, Mimi. Oh, I love it. About 25 minutes later, hey, it ain't working so well. It crashed. Disappointment. In my day, this dates me. If you're 60 or above, raise your hand. Hallelujah. I'm surrounded by witnesses. Now, I got another question. How many of you, this just came to you, how many of you got one of those powered motor airplanes that you would fly with remote control back in the 60s or early 70s?
Yeah.
See, it wasn't a very good illustration. I thought with a group this old, we would have had a bunch of them. Oh, excuse me. I mean, this is the tour. It's so distinguished. Well, I know we got one year. I thought, man, this could be great. I told my brother, Jimmy, this is awesome. We took it out for the big flight with a big crash.
Yeah.
Disappointment. We never flew it again. Years later, we had this guy show up at our church. He used to be one of our elders, Raymond. Remember Raymond? Oh, yeah. Love Raymond. Raymond had a hobby. Flying airplanes. He had these things that fit in a whole bag of his car. And he could take them up, make them do dives and come back down. Oh, his landed. His stayed in one piece. I quit liking him that day. That was just wrong. But God gives a gift. He gives this gift that's amazing. It's a gift. It's more than amazing. Because God knows we need his presence. You know what God knew? God knew what we needed most. You know, that's been one of your dilemmas the last few weeks. What can I get them? What do they need? And as you get older, have you noticed it's just hard to figure out what do they need? They already got everything. And if they don't have it, they'll get it there and find a way. Man, they don't need anything. And how many of you this year just say, you know what, I don't want nothing. Hey, don't give me anything. You're lying. You want something. You want some love. You want a meal. You want a little something. You want to be with people you love. You're like, no, I'd like a gift too, Pastor. You know, that'd be nice too. So God knows what we need. He tells us to unwrap it. So these gifts that we look for, I want to do this quickly with you. Right there on the left side, I made it really simple today. Did you like all the color that I put in the teaching guide? I made it very Christmassy. I think you might get 10% off today if you go eat lunch. But tell them, say, I want that back. It's got my notes on it. Look on the left side. We're just going to do these quickly because I want you to see them. These are some of the gifts that God gives. I love this passage out of Romans chapter 5, verse 16. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation. But God's free gift, circle that, free gift, leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. That is the good news of Christmas. Amen? James 1:17. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation of shifting shadow. 2 Corinthians. Oh, I love this one. Go ahead and circle the whole verse. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. You know, I've been trying to describe this gift for the last 43 years as a pastor, and I still just can't find the words to formulate to do it justice. Because it's the gift above every gift. Isn't it, Brother Larry? My friend Larry that used to head up our security, did all kinds of things. He came in today, just found today. He's having brain surgery in January. Just put on the side there. Praying for my friend Larry, January 15th. Bless him, Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
No, you're supposed to say, I'll pray. No, amen would be good. But pray for him. Yeah, an indescribable gift. Look at the next one, Ephesians 2:8. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for that because that in itself is a gift from God. God gives good gifts. God didn't take them back. Look at the last one. 1 Corinthians 1:7. Now you have every spiritual gift you need as you eagerly wait for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know as a Christian, as a Christ follower, God has showered you and given you spiritual gifts to be employed, to be deployed in the world as it brings honor to Christ. And whatever gift you've got, you use that gift much. Use it often to the honor of the King. And God will be blessed. And you'll get to have some peace because of it. There it is. Right there. Look at it real quick. So these verses, they're just little gifts. They're gifts that God comes to give you. But I'm gonna flip over. What are the Christmas gifts given from Jesus right now? The ones I just read you are biblical, and they're gifts that God gives and he intends for us to have and to embrace and to experience. But what I do love here is, now God gives these gifts. I want you to feel them. I'm going to do it real quick. Unwrapping the Christmas, the gift of Jesus. Number one, the gift of his presence. You can go back and listen to the podcast. I've really done this in depth, but I just say, I love this. That's the gift that I want you to have. If you leave here with nothing else, I pray that you just have the gift of Christ. That he dwells in you, and he calls you his own, and you made him the king of your life, and you celebrate him. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is interpreted, God is with us. Is that good news? That is great news. You know one thing, Don, and I noticed last night about small towns that we are so thankful. We are so thankful that we still live in the South, that we still live in the Bible Belt. And do you know they had the most incredible nativity set there in the middle of Prattville last night? And I go, praise God. There's some cities they tried to remove those over the last many years, and they won't do it. It ain't your birthday anyway. It's the King's.
That's right.
We're celebrating his.
That's right.
If it's your birthday, we probably ain't going to remember it anyway. But we're still remembering his birthday thousands of years later. All right, look at the second one. And here's one. You think, I don't know about this next gift, Pastor. We all need this gift. I'll tell you, come back next week. Now I'll tell you now. The gift of his sympathy. God has been sympathetic in that he became one of us. Look at this. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but in all points he was tempted as we are, and yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain something. We obtain mercy and we find grace in our time of need. God has sympathized with you. God has identified. God knows what you need. God knows when you hurt. How many are grateful that you're glad that God knows when you hurt, when you're in pain, when you cry, when you're broken, when you're in need of restoration? God knows, and he identifies. And I look at that, I go, God, your sympathy, it's amazing here. There's a thing that I learned in music. You musicians already know this, and I love this. It's a musical term that the Oxford Companion to the Music calls the sympathetic renaissance. Sympathetic renaissance. It's a term that's used to describe how if you have two pianos in the same room, you can play a note on just one of them, like hit the middle C on one piano, and the strings in the other piano gently respond with the exact same note. That's awesome. Because they're one. They identify. God has become one with us. He sympathizes. He knows. God knows your pain. You're not alone. And in this room, there's pain. There's agonies. There's heartache. There's sadness. And let's go. And there's laughter. And there's life. And there's joy. And there's celebration. You're like, how can the two exist in one room? Because it's called life. But God sympathizes. So this morning, I don't know where you are. You're saying, well, man, I'm hurting. But there's a Savior in heaven. He's the high priest. His name is Jesus. And he hurts with you. So the gift of his sympathy. All right, let's look at the third one. This is good. The gift of his peace. We all want peace. Everybody's striving for peace. Peace is not the absence of conflict. Peace is literally the presence of Christ. Glory to God in the highest and on earth, and peace and goodwill toward men, they shouted. God, give us peace. More peace. You know what I want in 2024? Peace.
Amen.
You know what I wanted this year? Peace. You know what I'm going to want if I live to be 70? More peace. Now, I'm not turning 70 on my birthday. I'm okay. But you know, that'd be 5 years later. And then, you know, 5 years after that. Hey, have you ever noticed when people get older, I see people all the time, they go, so how old are they? 70. You go, man, you're young. And people stand around and they go, what? I said, man, I just keep raising the bar. Every 10 years, I raise it. I mean, when my dad turned 50, I said, Pop, you're getting old. He knocked me out of the kitchen chair. Nice. He gave me a look, though, that looked like I should have flown out of the chair. He didn't think it was funny. And I remember he was not here. He was with the Father in heaven. And when I turned 50, I woke up and I went. I looked at myself in the mirror. I said, happy birthday, old geezer. And then I said, it ain't funny. And I just keep raising. How many of y'all keep raising the bar as you get older?
Yep.
It's amazing. I talk to 75 and 80-year-olds. They go, I'm 80 years young. I go, woo, looking good.
Yeah.
I lied. No. They look good. They look good. Anyway, you're saying, Pete, Pastor, you'd be a fool. You know what? Jesus comes. He comes to restore the broken. So he gives us the gift of his peace. I love that gift. But look what else he gives. The gift of his righteousness. That's the one we need, the righteousness of Christ. For he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You know what righteousness, I want you to write down words what it is. I want you to write, I've never seen this till this week in study. Here's a new definition of righteousness. You ready? Get ready to write. God is always right. Period. There's no debate. There's no discussion. There's no room for opinion. There's no room for interpretation. Righteousness, God is always right. And our God sets the standard for us. But he meets the standard in his son, Jesus Christ. Because we fall short of the glory of God. That's good news, isn't it, church? So I want the gift of his righteousness. I want my friends to have the gift of his righteousness. It's called the great divine exchange. We need to exchange our sin for his grace. Our sin for his righteousness. Let me just give you these. There's no way you can write all these down unless you just write really fast. But I just want to tell you in the divine exchange. We're accepted by God. We're declared not guilty. We're released from the penalty of sin. We're completely forgiven. We're restored back in favor with God. We're right standing with God. The benefit of walking in righteousness. Listen to this. We're surrounded with favor. We abide in God's presence. We have joy. We have deliverance. Our steps are ordered by God. Our children will be provided for. We're sustained by God. We flourish. We bear fruit. We have a good legacy. We win souls. We walk in integrity. We're honored. We're bold. We're courageous. Do you have an idea now? That's what you get when God gives you his gifts. He exchanges what you have, which is nothing, for what he has, which is everything. And it's what we need. We need what God has. We need him. You know, this year, how's Christmas for you so far? Hope it's been good in your preparation. And it's almost here, but today I just hope that somehow I can just point you to Christ. The other night when I spoke to our neighborhood, somebody came up to me afterwards and they went, "Keith, you just boasted and broke out about Jesus." I said, "Yeah." They said, "Did you know there were some non-Christians here tonight?" I said, "That's what I was hoping."
That's right.
I wanted them to hear about the King. It's about Jesus. And here at the table, 2023, this is our last Christmas at this facility because we're moving in the next couple of months. And I want to make sure that this place knows that we're about Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And when you leave here, after you light your candle today, I pray that you're going to let your light shine and people are going to know that you're about the Christ, the one that we celebrate. So, Lord, let me give you the last one. Here it is, the gift of eternal life. Oh, that's the one you want. And now give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither they shall they any man pluck them out of my hand. We are secure in the love of Christ. We're secure when we place our faith in him. We trust in him. Salvation is, you know what it is? Write this down. Salvation is the true gift of Christmas. You can give your best gifts. You can receive good gifts. And that's awesome. And that's fine. And that's fun. And I hope you get all those. But I hope you get the true gift. I hope you have the true gift. And I hope you share the true gift with somebody that needs the true gift of life. It's eternal life in God's Son, Jesus Christ. That's the Christmas gospel. It's the everyday gospel. So, Lord, we come today to give you praise, to give you worship, and to hopefully unwrap gifts. And we come to unwrap the gifts that you give, but we come mostly to unwrap the gift of Christ, that we adore him, that we give him our affection, that we give him our attention. I'll give you another A. That we give him access to our hearts, to our minds. And we say, "Come. Come, Lord Jesus. Be born in me anew today and take over. You're the King. May I give you glory." In the name of Jesus Christ, God's people gathered at the table and said,
Amen. Amen.